Hello, and welcome to Holden Village. Today is August 28th, 2003. Today's session is entitled Children's Books, presented by Gail Homeland and Heidi Grosch, number HOG 2003-01. Let's listen in.
Signal. I want to read you a book called... That was our audio visual man.
Okay.
Start recording this. This is called Big Mama Makes the World. And this is a new discovery of mine. It's not available in too many bookstores. And we just happened upon it when we were at a bookstore. And it's, well, you'll find out what it is. And it's just too illustration and story. And I'm going to pass the book around. When we're done, I'll pass the book. Oops, somebody's coming to the door.
See as you read.
Oh,
you see. I get very engrossed in this.
And I haven't practiced this one, so I'm sorry.
Well, that's okay.
Good.
You're not coming here.
When Big Mama made the world, she didn't mess around.
I could just say
there was water everywhere, and Big Mama saw what needed to be done all right. So she rolled up her sleeves and went to it. It wasn't easy either, with that little baby sitting on her hip. Didn't stop Big Mama though. Not for a minute. Light, said Big Mama. And you better believe there was light. Dark, said Big Mama. And there was the dark, just as big as the light. You two got work to do, Big Mama said. Don't you be fooling around none. Then she looked at the light, and she looked at the dark, and she looked at that little baby looking at the light in the dark, smiling and cooing, and Big Mama said, that's good. That's real good. That's how the first day went by. Next day, Big Mama looked around. Can't tell my up from my down, said Big Mama. Better have some sky here. And there it was, one big sky wrapping over everything, soft and blue as a baby's blanket. Wasn't much else yet, but water and light and dark and sky, all doing what Big Mama wanted them to do. And Big Mama, she was pleased all right. That's good, she said. That's real good. That's how the second day went by. Next day, Big Mama looked around some more and she said, got me some light, got me some dark, but I still can't tell what time of day it is. How am I gonna know when it's morning? Evening. Time to put the baby down for a nap. Big Mama, she wanted to know all right. And anything Big Mama wants, Big Mama gets. That's just how it goes. Son, said Big Mama, you take care of this day business for me. Moon, said Big Mama, you take care of the night. Big Mama made the stars, too, just in case old Moon overslept sometime. Big Mama looked at the sun and the moon and the stars filling up her sky just in time for little baby's nap. And Big Mama nodded, and she smiled, and she said, that's good. That's real good. That's how the third day went by. Next morning, Big Mama got up with the sun, and she said, I need a place to put my feet down when they need putting down. She knew there'd be some foot putting down when that baby of hers got to growing up more. Earth, said Big Mama, get over here. And it did. All one big ball of mud it was. Nothing much to look at. Baby liked it all right, just the way it was. But Big Mama wasn't finished yet. Need some grass to wiggle my toes in, said Big Mama. Some big old shade trees for hanging a hammock. Papayas and oranges and boysenberries for eating on. That's how it was then, just like Big Mama said. Little baby sucking on a mango and grass and trees and fruit all over the place like somebody tipped over a fruit stand. Big Mama, she looked at all that earth and she said, that's good. That's real good. That's how the fourth day went. Lots of folks would be plenty pleased, but Big Mama, she doesn't quit a job till it's done and done right. Big Mama looked at all that water and earth and trees and sky and sun and moon and stars and she said, awful quiet down there. Better have some whales, better have some birds, better have some fish. That's exactly what happened, all right. Pretty soon there were more whales and catfish and mockingbirds and crows than a little baby could shake a stick at, which a little baby could do if a little baby wanted to, since Big Mama had already made all those trees full of sticks. Big Mama looked at all that action and she said, "That's good. That's real good." That's how the fifth day went by. Big Mama was about ready to be done with it all. Making a world was a lot of work with the laundry piling up and the dishes needing doing. She figured she'd better finish things off in one big bag. "I need some creepers and crawlers," said Big Mama, "some runners and jumpers, some diggers and divers. Everybody else wants to get created, this here's your chance. Hedgehogs and night crawlers, raccoons and garter snakes, rabbits and polar bears." That's how Big Mama made them all. One big bang.
That's great. I guess pigs do fly.
Yeah, exactly. But Big Mama still wasn't done. "Oh no. I'm lonely," said Big Mama. "Who's going to sit on the front porch and swap stories with me? Not these creepers and crawlers, not these diggers and divers. They're good, all right, but none of them can tell a story worth a plug nickel. And all this little baby can say so far is goo goo gaga. I need some folks to keep me company." Big Mama, she scooped up some of that leftover mud and she pushed and she pulled and she poked and she pried, and the next thing you know, there were folks everywhere. Big folks and little folks, fat folks and thin folks, all kinds of shades of folks, and every one of those folks had a story to swap with Big Mama. "That's good," said Big Mama. That's real good. That's how the sixth day went by, with Big Mama and all those folks sitting on the porch and gabbing while the sun went down. Big Mama was ready for a rest, all right, ready to bundle up that little baby of hers in that big blue blanket of the sky. But Big Mama had one more thing to do. She lined up all those folks and said, "This is a real nice world we got here, and you all better take some good care of it. I'm taking a day off to rest now, but I'll be keeping an eye on you." That's what Big Mama said, all right, and you better believe she meant it. Every once in a while, when she's burping the baby or making cookies or rocking that little baby to sleep, Big Mama looks down and says, "Better straighten up down there." And every so often, Big Mama looks down on this nice little world she made, and she nods, and she smiles, and she says, "That's good. That's real good."
That is.
Isn't this a find?
What's the name of the Big Mama?
This is called Big Mama Makes the World. It's by Phyllis Rood,
who's from Minnesota.
Yeah, and it's illustrated by Helen Oxenberry. And the funny thing is that even as we read the beginning, there's a theologian that preached at my wedding, and he's a scholar of the Psalms. And he says that, you know, the Jewish way of looking at the world was that if God said light, the answer of the light is to go shine. And there what I mean that it's a word and an answer. And it's so interesting because I can hear that in here.
Yeah.
You know, I can hear it in here. So yeah. I'm terribly impressed. And let me, I don't know what you all are interested in. This session got developed because Heidi and I and Sharon leaves tomorrow and Heidi leaves next week and I'm here for a year, all got into a conversation about books one day, and we realized that there was a lot of energy around this, and we thought maybe we should pass this energy around. So we just wanted to tell you about some of our favorites. And if you'd like me to talk for a minute and tell you about some of our favorites, I'd also like to open this up so that you all can tell. If you've got any favorites, you can throw them out on the table, because people have found books that I don't know about. So is that okay with you all? Now I teach high school kids and middle elementary, so if you're looking for a gift or if you're a teacher yourself, one of the two most amazing books that I found this last year is this one right here by Jerry Spinelli. It's called Star Girl. And this is a book about a girl who is different, entirely different. She calls herself Star Girl. She comes into a high school that's in Arizona that has absolutely no history. It's very, very new. Everybody comes from someplace else. And it's a high school that has absolutely no school spirit or pep. It's extraordinarily conformist. And Star Girl comes in bringing a ukulele, wearing, holding a canvas bag that has a gigantic sunflower on it, having her long hair, and she comes to a desk and she sets it up with a tablecloth around her school desk and flowers at it. And when it's someone's birthday, she pulls out a ukulele out of her bag and she walks up to that person and sings happy birthday to them by name. She knows everybody's name. She's like a researcher in the world, and she is a giver, and she flips out this entire high school. So this is a story of, narrated by a kid named Leo Borlaug, that Stargirl has picked. She likes him best, and she's been watching him for a long time. And it's his story of kind of dealing with first the kind of wonder, and then the acceptance and copying of Stargirl, and then eventually her shunning, and how it all goes in high school when somebody comes in and decides to be extraordinarily different. And it's an amazing book.
Well, I'm talking of other amazing books. This one is called Stuck in Neutral.
Yeah.
And it also is a different kind of coming of age. It's about a boy named Sean who is 14 years old and has cerebral palsy.
Yes.
And it people think that he's a vegetable and that he's a retard, but it's told from his perspective, and he's intelligent, and he is just frustrated that people don't see beyond his exterior shell.
And he has a perfect memory for everything he's ever heard.
Mm.
And so he remembers every conversation, every bit of information he's ever heard. He's like he's a savant, but he cannot communicate. He can't even twitch.
But it made, you know, it was really interesting, because as I was reading this book, there happened to be a family here with a girl with cerebral palsy, and and you know, and it just really helps you understand more worlds that are different than ours, and perhaps, you know, be more empathetic. Is that the word I want?
Yes, I think you do.
Not empathic.
No,
maybe empathic.
Another book that I found this year that is about a different world is by a favorite author of mine, Cynthia Ryland. Mm-hmm. And she is just, I think she's finally a deeply spiritual person. I got to spend one noon one time with a suitcase that they had collected, these teachers had collected all kinds of Cynthia Rylands, and I got to spend this noon hour during a class just looking at Cynthia Ryland, crying, putting myself together, reading another book, crying, putting myself together. This one is called Heavenly Village. You're welcome to a piece of paper and a pen as we roll through book titles. This is called Heavenly Village, and it's a teeny little book, and I think it's even a cool book to give to people who are grieving, adults or kids, because it's about heaven, and it's about God creating a place where you go if you haven't quite finished your work, and that it's a village that is kind of in a transition thing. And you do things like, it talks about soul letters being sent, and that angels up there or people up there will write a letter to somebody down here on earth, and then they just kind of write it. And then it just gets sent, and it gets sent in the way that maybe some flowers are especially beautiful, and a person kind of gets a message through those that moment, or however. And so it's a story of four or five people who live in the village, and it's just really, it's really a neat book. And I mean, she's just doing some interesting spiritual things in it also. So that's one I like.
There's also, I don't have a copy of it here, and I don't know if you've read it, but it's called Briar Rose, and it's by Jane Yolen. And it's a very interesting way to deal with history. It takes the story of Briar Rose or Sleeping Beauty and kind of sets it in the time of the Holocaust. And it's a book that a lot of, I do, my name is Heidi Grash, and I do a lot of young authors conferences with 4th through 8th graders, talking to them about different aspects of writing. I have one book that I've published. And they really like this book because it handles a subject that's very difficult to deal with at times in a way that is understandable.
What's it called?
It's called Briar Rose, and it's by Jane Yolen.
And speaking of Jane Yolen, this is the book I taught this last year called The Devil's Arithmetic. And she also, it's another Holocaust story. And in this one, a young girl is Jewish, and it's in 1996 or something, or 94. And she's about to celebrate and open the door for Elijah during a Seder. And so you learn about her whole family, and she's kind of got an attitude. She's kind of not happy to be there. And her grandpa has got the numbers on his arm, and he flies off the handle about the camps every once in a while. She opens the door, and when she opens the door, she's no longer in New York City. It becomes a science fiction time travel, and she is somebody else. And she can speak the language in, I believe she's in Poland. And she is a girl now named Hannah. She takes up her middle name, the person she's named for, or she's called Chaya, and she goes through the whole concentration camp experience. And I read this aloud to my students, and I had one kid named Rigo in my class, and I would completely fall apart reading it, and I'd have to say, pick it up, you read, and put myself back together, because it was just, it's so incredibly powerful. And it's a really interesting story, because you end up experiencing the camp, but you also kind of have the clincher of knowing that this is a science fiction and this girl can't be here. You know that somehow she at least is going to be okay, because it starts with time and she's got to, you know, begin and end the book a little bit. But it's just incredibly powerful if you're looking to read something powerful or buy something.
Now, let's say you have a younger reader and you want something not quite so powerful or and you want a fun little book. Have any of you ever heard of Benicula?
Oh,
the Vampire Bunny?
Yes, the Vampire Bunny.
I mean, there's a whole series of them. One is The Celery Stalks at Midnight.
Same story.
Same story. About a rabbit who comes into a family, and the other animals, especially the dog, are convinced that, oh no, the cat, are convinced that this rabbit is a vampire because it sucks all the juice out of the vegetables. Mm-hmm. But it's a fun story for a younger reader. I also just finished reading this one, Lois Lowry, who wrote Number of the Stars, another Holocaust book, which was a Newbery winner. Newbery is the award that's given every year to the books, and the Caldecott is given every year for the illustrators. But I just read this. It's one of her earlier books, and it's called Autumn Street. Have you read this one?
I haven't. I need to.
It's about a girl who is living with her grandparents in a fairly well-to-do family, and she befriends the grandchild of their cook, who's African American, and how there's no race discrimination at all until they go beyond the perimeters of the house, and then this girl is shocked. The girl in the story is 6 years old, so it's an interesting way to deal with that for children at a little bit younger age. A little bit of a sad ending. It did make me cry at the end. The boy.
And the Holocaust story that Lois Lowry has written is set in Denmark, which is really, yes, really a neat place to have it set, because they talk about the King of Denmark, the morning that they're all supposed to wear the armbands, he's wearing them, mm-hmm, and everybody's wearing them, and you can't find the Jewish people. And it also talks about how they kept up their neighbors' homes. Mm-hmm. The Jewish people who had to escape or left for a while or were taken away, but mostly escaped, they would keep their apartments cleaned and dusted and the flowers watered. And so the people came home to their home. And so this is a story of a girl, and in the hopes of saving a neighbor girl, they take her into their family because she looks like a sister who's already died in their family. And so it's a story in Denmark, and it's just really, it's a nice book. I had students who reread this book. One girl rereads it every single year. Mm-hmm. Comes back, borrows my copy, gonna read Number of the Stars again. Checks it out.
It's funny because there are books that just really speak to people and their young souls that they continue to read as they get older and older, and then they have their children read them and so forth. Laura Ingalls Wilder is another author,
yeah,
who's like that. And another author who's like that is Maud Hart Lovelace. Have any of you ever heard of the Betsy, Tacy, and Tib books? Maud Hart Lovelace lived in a town called Mankato, Minnesota, which is about an hour and a half from Minneapolis in Minnesota. And she wrote these stories based on her own life. And she called herself Betsy, and her best friends were Tacy and Tib. And the town of Mankato in these stories is called the town of Deep Valley. And like Laura Ingalls Wilder, they're very historically accurate, yet they're really fun stories. In fact, when Maud Hart Lovelace was writing these stories, she refused to read any of Laura Ingalls Wilder's work because she never wanted to be accused of copying that sort of format. But in the first book, Betsy and Tacy are 5, and then in the next book they're 8, and then in the next book they're 10, and then 12, and then the following 4 books they're in high school, and then she goes on a round the world coming out cruise type of thing, and then in the last book she gets married. And so they're really, really great books. They're fun to start reading with a younger age because then you can progressively increase the reading level, because each book, when they're 10, it's a little bit harder reading. When they're 12, it's a little bit harder reading. Maud was writing these as her own daughter was getting older. So Betsy Tacy books, really a great treasure, especially if you like Lord
and Lewis. And really, for the time period, she's also dealing with cultural differences in a really progressive way.
Yes,
I think
she
more
is.
Progressive than Laura Ingalls Wilder, actually.
And there's another book that she wrote called Emily of Deep Valley, which deals with that racial issue even more so.
Yeah, I mean, she just really did some. Evidently, there was a bunch of Syrians living there,
mm-hmm.
and they just undo one of the books. The kids undo the myth about who everybody else thinks these people are. And it's just really refreshing.
And if you go to Mankato, you can see the actual places she talks about in the book.
Oh my gosh, we'll have to do
that someday. There's a Maud Hart Lovelace Society and a Betsy Tacy Society.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. One of the books that was in my box that got lost on the way to Holden here is a book called Darkness Over Denmark. And if you're ever buying books for boys, one of the tricks with buying books for boys I've found is that the boys really have a different reading experience. They need to read so that what they're reading is true and useful. They are, you know, they need to fix Chevys. That's kind of how they're formatted and programmed. And I found that I need to have some nonfiction available. So one of the books that would deal about the Number of the Stars stories is a big book kind of like this one, of this size and format, but certainly readable. I mean, lots of decent text for sort of a, you know, 6th, 7th, 8th, and into high school kind of kid. And it's the story of Denmark's resistance. And so... Mm-hmm. Those are available. And there's this one is another one that happened to not get lost in my box, which is The Life and Work of Dorothea Lange, the photographer. And so, and I've had a kid check this out and just take a break from fiction and get a chance to read nonfiction. And that's really, you know, it's a harder kind of book to find good matches for kids, but it's still really where the boys are, a lot of them.
Can I ask about, because I've only had experience with boys, because I only have two boys.
Mm-hmm.
I found that, especially my younger one, who's the avid reader in the family, was really into fantasy literature.
I think boys do read fantasy.
I mean he'd eat it.
And fantasy and sci-fi readers are voracious. They're among the very best readers, because they don't read their books just once. They read their books 10 times. And 8 times.
And they read the whole series. You know?
And they read
the
whole series,
20 books,
all of
Dune, 20.
Which I'm like,
ugh.
Yeah.
I mean, and Anne McCafferty, The Dragon Slayers of Pern.
Yes.
Oh, man. Oh,
if
yeah.
you like that kind of book.
Yes. You know, and Philip Pullman, you know, The Golden Compass. They
right.
just go,
they
eat that stuff
yes.
up. And I mean, that's a good one. I didn't bring it down. So
and The Seven Life. And The Ember Spyglass.
Oh, yeah. Yes. And if you're doing younger kids, those Redwall books just catch their imagination. They're just hot books that... I'm waiting for my daughter, who likes fantasy, to find them.
You know who else, though? E. Nesbitt.
Oh.
She is an old-time author, and she deals with that kind of fantasy world in a good way as well.
Yeah.
I think she's British.
Yeah, and Edward Eger also. And this other one, do we have Ibbotson here? No, I don't think so. Oh, yes, they do. Okay. Here's another fantasy one. Here, Secret of Platform 13. This is kind of a newly discovered writer for me. She's also British, and if you've got a kid who likes Harry Potter, she's got a book. This is Secret of Platform 13. It's Eve Ibbotson. But she's written one called Island of the Aunts, and that one is just fantastic. It's about these three or four sisters who, with their father, take care of magical creatures on this island. But they really need some children, because they can't do this forever, and they're getting older, and so they kidnap a couple in England, and send all of Britain into kind of hysterics about these aunts who are kidnapping children. But the children really prefer to live there. They have kind of miserable lives where they are, and it's just so wonderful. In fact, my daughter and I read aloud, and we couldn't read anything else together for a while because we just had to be in that book. Secret of Platform 13, a magical world is trying to rescue the prince of the world who went through an opening that opens every 16 years or something. And he somehow got swiped. And so now they're trying to rescue him, and he's like an 11-year-old, and he's not the same. And it's just, and she is just delightful. And I've heard, and I think she also wrote Witch, that people are telling me is also just a kick. And she's funny and British.
Mm-hmm.
Cute.
Well, speaking of funny women, Mrs. Pigglewiggle, any of you remember those Mrs. Pigglewiggle books? Again, an author back from my childhood, but so much fun. Mrs. Pigglewiggle and Encyclopedia Brown. Those are two books from the past that every child in this generation, I think, should read. So you all knew about Mrs. Pigglewiggle? Yeah.
That's good stuff.
We had a grocery store near us named Piggly Wiggly, and so that always...
For sure.
Can we talk about picture books for a minute?
Let's do picture books for a minute. Sure.
There are a couple, we had been chatting earlier about picture books that have meaning and that have meat to them, and I don't have them. I was sitting here trying to think about the books I have at home. And there's a couple that are just fantastic. One is called Sister Anne's Hands, and I'm afraid I can't give you the author, but it's about a girl who goes to parochial school, and one of the nuns is black. African-American, and she doesn't realize this at first. And the other children, when this nun touches them, they try to wash the black off their hands, and it's just sort of an understanding of a different culture. It's a really great book. Another one is called Elsbeth's Doll, and it was written by a woman who was in the Peace Corps, and it's the story of a little girl whose mother has a new baby, and this little girl lives in an African village and can't afford a doll of her own, so she takes this rock. And the rock becomes her baby, and she does everything that her mother does with the new baby with this rock. And it's just a really charming story.
And I found while we were here, this little book.
Who was the author?
I don't know. I can't think of that one. But it's Elsbeth's Doll.
This one my daughter just found here at the library. Here, and I put it into our conversation. Not that it's an amazing, powerful book. It's called Selkie. But my six-year-old picked it up, read it, and she brought it to me. She says, Mom, this book is so good. And I just realized the power of, for little kids, to let them be in a magical world. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things that I think that Harry Potter has done, is allowed our kids to just enjoy magic. Because, of course, this is about the girl who can, you know, take off her skin and, you know, become a girl until, you know, her skin is found again and she can become free. And it's just, it's really a neat story. It really is. And I just put it in there for promoting magic.
Well, and using your imagination is really powerful with kids. And Dr. Seuss, as we all know, is a marvelous, but there's one book of his called Oh Say Can You Say.
Oh God, I love that book.
Yeah, it is, it's all about these tongue twisters.
Oh my God, that's right. Wonderful.
Briggs, Pats, Pigs, Briggs, Pats, Pig, Pigs, Pig, Pigs, you know. And I use that a lot, and the boys, if you're talking about books for boys, they love
that. It's
really
good. Yeah. When the storm starts, when the drops start dropping, when the drops stop dropping, the storm starts stopping.
You know,
I can do the dinosaur named Din one too.
Dinosaur named Din?
We have a dinosaur named Din. Din's thin. Din doesn't have much skin, and the bones fall out of his left front shin. So we have to call in Pinner Blin, who comes with his handy shin pin pin. And with a thin Blin shin pin, Blin pins Din's shin bones right back in.
Also really good with dealing with subjects like the Butter Battle book, which dealt with the Cold War, and the Lorax, which deals a lot with environmental issues.
Is wonderful. It makes you cry at the end.
Yeah. He was actually a war correspondent, and he did a lot of political cartoons in his early career.
And you know that he has one about aging, too.
Mm-hmm.
He has a really funny one about becoming, what is it called?
You're Only Old Once.
You're Only Old Once. And, I mean, that's just a riot about going to the doctor and everything falling apart.
It's a great book to give appropriately to people retiring.
Yes, if they can handle it.
If they can handle it.
Right.
And sometimes 40-year-olds feel that way, too.
Oh, yeah. And there's the birthday one on, I don't remember what it's called. We found it at a thrift store, so now, and I mean, a friend of ours, she reads it as a birthday thing to her friends. And, I mean, it just goes on and on and on. But it's great fun.
It is great fun. Another picture book, one of you had looked at this, is The Quiltmaker's Gift. Are you familiar with this one?
That's Dan Grant.
No, it's not. Jeff Broombo. And this is so remarkable, not only for the story, but the illustrations are marvelous. They pop off the page, and all of the quilt patterns that you see in here are actual quilt patterns. And it's a story of a woman who makes quilts for people, but they only receive them when they give of themselves and have a generous spirit. But it's the illustrations are phenomenal, yeah. I think.
It's a book, here, let's pass it around. It's a book that I've given to godchildren just because it's got such good, you know, good meaning.
And if you're looking for good illustrations, not this book, but this illustrator, Paul Zielinski, does, he has a marvelous book of Rapunzel and the 12 Dancing Princesses, and his illustrating style is so marvelous. He's won the Caldecott a couple of times. Mm-hmm. So we'll have those for you to look at too.
Yep. And another one that I found recently this summer is called Rockaboxen, and it's just, and you know this book? Yeah. I mean, it's about these kids who have a place that they play and they create a whole town. And of course, at the end, they can go back and see where they put the rocks to kind of create the town. And it's just, it's really a neat, you know, story of children's play and how children's play works and how it kind of stays with you. And we can maybe remember those things. But it's neat.
And alphabet books. Let's talk about how many bazillion different alphabet books there are. But there is one that is the funniest. It's called A is for Salad.
A is for Salad?
Mm-hmm. And it's, I can't remember who the author is. It's an, he's the same author illustrator. And, you know, A is for Salad, and so there's an alligator eating a salad. And then there's a zebra at the end, and his backside is shorn from fur, and it's the end of the book, and X and Y don't really matter.
So you have to do all kinds of inferences to figure out how the alphabet book works.
Well, and because it's the person, there's the, a character who is that letter.
Oh, right.
Doing something else. It's really funny.
What
it's really
about
funny.
The Graham Bass alphabet book, Animalia?
Yeah, that's beautiful.
That is just incredible.
Graham Bass is amazing.
Mm-hmm. That is so incredible. It's a book that has it has an alliterative sentence, you know, so every word begins with A. You know, something like angry alligators actually acting, you know, something like that.
Artfully.
Artfully acting or whatever. And then the pictures are really, really detailed. And they have everything like for N, you can see Neptune in the sea. So you can bring in mythology. And like for the letter O, they've got an oboe hidden somewhere. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's not just, you know, B is for bed, C is for cat.
Right.
They've got really cool things. And the kids will say, what's that? And you'll be able to tell them. And you can weave in mythology. It's the best. I still look at it now. It's great.
And there's that other one that is A, my name is Alfred and my...
Yeah.
A, my name is Annie and my husband's name is Alfred. We come from Atlanta and we sell ants.
Yep.
And all the animals, and they're animals that begin with the letter A, mm-hmm. and he'll say, you know, and
well, and there's
they
also
are so funny.
Z was zapped. Do you know that one?
Z it's was all, zapped.
It's all black and white pictures, and something happens to every letter of the alphabet, so it's a little dark. But you know, H was hanged, and I was iced, and
it's a little murderous.
And this one, which was a Caldecott honor book, if you will, this was up in our library, Alphabet City. All the letters are things you find in nature. And I was reading this with some kids before, and it was really fun for them because then they start going out and trying to find the letters in the environment that's around them. So that's kind of cool. Should we hop back to young adult books?
Okay, hopping back to young adult. Let's go to another country. Homeless Bird is a really great gift for about a girl, I would say, from seventh grade on up.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of the, my kids are bad readers. My kids are... they hate moving beyond in any form of other cultures. They can just barely handle, say, New York Jewish. They just can't go that far. My kids are from Chicago and they're Hispanic. And they really, really have to stay inside kind of normal, boring culture. But I have kids who can handle this, and this is set in India. And it's a story of a girl who's very young, and she's given in dowry to a family to be a bride. And it turns out the boy she's marrying is very much younger, you know, so this is a really weird marriage. And they have taken the money, hopefully to go get him to the Ganges because they want him to be healed. And he doesn't make it. And so she is beginning her life in India as a widow. And it's the story, and it's just, it's for kids. They're just seeing a whole world, and somehow this writer has made it accessible. And I think, you know, if it's accessible to my kids, it's accessible to everybody, because my students cannot, you know, move much beyond pretty, you know, basic white American culture or their own. So that's called Homeless Bird.
And the audio tape of this is really great.
Oh, I bet the audio tape is great.
So much when you listen to books on tape, if the person reading it isn't any good, then the story...
Oh, yeah. Another audio tape book that's really, really excellent is called Esperanza Rising. And it's by Munoz, I think. She's got like three names, but I think her final last name is Munoz. And that's an immigration story from Mexico, but it happens around 1913. So it's very different. It's kind of got Dust Bowl elements and that kind of poverty thing, and it's a really cool story. A daughter, and a mother and a daughter. And another big book, or what I think is a really great book, is Make Lemonade. And it's the story of a girl, and you can't tell her cultural group exactly. You kind of have a sense that Lavon might be black, and that Jolly, the girl she's caring for, might be white. But this is written in poetry. And so it's a story about a girl, Lavon, who applies to be a teenage mother's babysitter. And the teenage mother is Jolly, and she has two kids, Jeremy and Jilly. So we have these wild names. And it's a story of this one teenager, Lavon, who's actually a better mother than the actual mother. And they're just kind of quietly helping her figure out her life and do high school and go to class. And it's in, and Lavon's mother is promoting college. And so there's lots of internal dialogue in Lavon about, you know, how college is a word in my house. You know, you're going to get there. We're going to do whatever you need to. And I think it's just a really cool book. It's not for, it's for a kid who's a pretty good reader. And she's written now a sequel called True Believer that I hear is just very good. Doesn't have the same characters, just has the same main character who's working on now the problem of her absent father, who was actually killed. And she's just kind of grieving that as a high school kid, and so I think they're a really cool set.
This next author is Andrew Clements, and he's my new favorite author. Good for like a third or fourth grade reader, wouldn't you say?
Definitely.
But I love them. He wrote this book called Frindle. Oh. Have any of you heard of that? Frindle, there's a fourth grade boy, and his teacher, they're talking
he's
about...
He's a smart aleck.
Yeah, he's... Well, I don't know.
He's a smarty pants.
He speaks his mind. But he... His teacher is talking about how language is formed. And so, okay, he is a smart aleck and a smarty pants. And he starts getting everybody else to call a pen a frindle. And pretty soon everybody's calling this pen a frindle, and it's the journey of that story. He also wrote a book called, or Andrew Clements wrote this book called A School Story, which is about a girl whose mother is an editor, and this girl ends up writing a book and submitting it to her mother under a pseudonym. And it's sort of how that journey goes. And then he wrote another one called Janitor's Boy, which is a boy, the boy is being moved to a new school where his dad is the custodian, and he is so embarrassed. And so he acts out, and he sticks this huge big wad of gum, I mean, he chews up like 12 packs of gum and sticks it on the bottom of a chair. Well, of course it gets caught. And he has to go and help the janitor. So everybody finds out that it's his dad, but it's an interesting journey that he takes.
And he's actually written a science fiction recently, but I don't know. I haven't read it. It's in my box.
Well, I think he's really great, and he's easy to read, and he's fun. We should talk about some more Minnesotans, because...
Yeah, go for it.
Well, I have not read...
Oh my gosh, Foxman is a great book. I picked it too.
Yeah.
No?
Here, you talk about it. I can speak about the author. I know him, and he's a really, really delightful human being, but I haven't read.
Foxman, I mean, he's written a lot of great books.
Dog Song.
Right. This is Brian's Winter, Brian Returns, all of those stories. And they are great boy books because they're survival stories. And the structure is almost always the same, where a boy, by some sort of fluke, is stuck alone trying to survive this thing, and everything gets messy and horrible. But this one, Foxman, is really interesting because you see Gary Paulsen's history in the Vietnam War, because that often gets into his books. And in this book, a boy who's got to go live with his aunt and uncle in northern Minnesota, goes with his cousin out snowshoeing in the winter, and they get caught by a storm, realizing they're going to die if they don't figure something out. And they happen to see some smoke rising over a hill in this way, way out area, and they go to this cabin, knock on the door, and a man comes to the door, and his face is entirely melted. He is just deformed beyond belief. And the man looks at them, shuts the door, comes back with a scarf over his face, and then the boys realize that this man is the Foxman. And they stay overnight, and he's got the best pelts you ever can believe, because he's a super trapper. And Carl, the main character, goes back to this guy and becomes friends. Never exactly finds out the story, but you have a feeling that he was wiped out by friendly fire in Vietnam. And they create a relationship, the Foxman and this kid. And it's a really neat story. And I have lots of kids who will read this, especially a kid who needs to read a book that feels skinnier and is not quite so scary. Because, I mean, honestly, that's true. Lots of kids. Also, Gary Paulson has written a book that is for a little better reader, a little bit thicker, harder story, but also pulls in his elements of his experience in the Vietnam War, and that's called The Car. And I cannot tell you how many copies of The Car have completely become ragged in my classroom. Year after year, I have so many kids read it, because it's a story of a kid whose parents are so involved, enmeshed in their arguing with each other, they kind of ignore him. And he comes home to double answering machine messages, one from his father saying, "That's it, I quit, I'm out of here, you and your mom can handle things, blah, blah, blah." And then the next message is from who? His mother, same message. And he realizes that he has the house for the weekend, he has what money he's stashed away, and he's always stashed away money, he's just that kind of kid. And he has a kit car in the garage. And so he grabs a sandwich, and he plays hooky from school for a couple days, and he builds a car from this kit that's, I imagine, slightly smaller and has an engine, and he gets the whole thing going and he heads down the road. And he meets, of course, a couple of Vietnam vets, and they do what is called trekking. And they pick a city, they each take turns, and they pick a city of where they're going to go next and have an adventure. And they have quite the adventures. Because one of these guys is, and it turns out one of the guys is gay, and my kids go, "They said he was gay!" And I go, "He was?" And I mean, so it's breaking apart that stereotype, and that man who is gay is physically incredibly dangerous. He goes like this. There's a scene where he shrugs, and there are people all over the floor. You know, you can't see him hurt people, but he can hurt people. And then he kind of goes into a depression for a little while afterwards. So I mean, he's really playing with a lot of the residue in the Vietnam War, so it's a really powerful book. Good readers really get it.
I think Mary Casanova is also another Minnesota reader who Mary Casanova and Marcia Qualley both write good books for boys in nature kinds of things. Can't think of any titles offhand, but Marcia Qualley and Mary Casanova are two good.
Who spelled Qualley?
Q-U-A-L-E-Y.
L-E-Y.
There's also
another. What's the other one?
Mary Casanova. There's also another a great book that just came out by a woman named Anne Yelvisaker. Yelvisaker, called Dear Papa. And it's the story of a girl whose father has died and she's grieving his loss, and so she writes him letters. And so you follow the story of her life and her mother remarrying and all of that through the letters that she writes to her father.
And what's it called?
Dear Papa. And that's it just came out this last year, and it's really a great, great story.
The book that's hot, hot, hot for the seniors, the girls in high school right now, and I imagine some of you in the circle have heard it, is called The Summer of the Traveling Pants, or The Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants. And I hate to admit it, but I've given it away as gifts because I know it's so good. I haven't even read it yet. But it is about the story of a group of girls, I believe four of them, who all fit into the same pair of jeans, and they loan the jeans out. They all have to go different directions for the summer. And there are certain rules about these jeans, about your behavior and how you are when you're wearing these jeans. And it's kind of the story of how their summer goes. And of course, there's now a sequel called Second Summer of the Sisterhood. And so, you know, I ended up talking on the porch one day with a couple kids, and they're like, "Oh yeah, totally read it." You know, it's the wildfire book right now among, you know, good high school girl readers. So Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants. So. Summer, second summer. Yeah. Good authors to pay attention to for a girl reader in high school would be Cynthia Voigt. She writes a series about a family that the mother has abandoned these kids, and a girl has to kind of take all of her siblings and get them to their grandmother's house. And this is all taking place in Cape Cod area, Massachusetts, so it's a slightly different culture with fishing and all that. And she writes really neat, quiet stories and has really remarkable characters. And so if you've got a daughter or a niece who's a really great reader, you might want to hook her into this series, which is the Tillerman Family series by Cynthia Voigt. And she's just wonderful. She's got the books are Homecoming and Dicey Song and then Solitary Blue. And it's just the story of getting there and kind of settling in to live with Granny. And, you know, just wonderful, wonderful writing.
And again, I'm so sorry I can't remember all these authors. I sometimes have a hard time remembering my own name. But there's a really fun book called Just Ella. Have you ever read that one?
Just Ella?
Just Ella. It's the story of Cinderella. Okay. But Cinderella is a strong character and the prince is a ninny. And it's a chapter book. And it's it's the story as we know it, and she goes and she's going to marry the prince, but then the prince is really not her type. And she resists him and it just says, I don't like you, and so he locks her in the dungeon and how she escapes. And it's just really, it's fun to see Cinderella as a strong female character.
And then there's another one called Ella Enchanted.
Yes, by, yes, I wrote that one down.
What's her first name?
Can't read my writing.
Somebody Levine.
Carlson Levine.
Yes.
Claire? Something.
Something.
Carlson Levine. It's upstairs.
Carson, I think, Levine.
Carson Levine.
It's upstairs?
I think so.
Dang, missed it. Ella Enchanted is a... What?
What age?
Oh, my daughter read it. And my daughter's in third grade. She's going into fourth grade. She's a pretty decent reader.
But I had junior high kids reading it, too.
Oh, yeah. And it is it's a little bit predictable because you kind of know that it is... It turns into... Which story? Which exact story?
It's Cinderella.
It's Cinderella again. But it's so wonderful because this baby is born and she's been given a wish by a fairy godmother because she happens... When this one fairy comes in, she happens to be crying. And the fairy wishes her the ability to always follow whatever she's told to do. And so if she's given a direct order, she must follow it. And so her life has been really kind of tricky because if she's told sit up straight, she might want to still slouch, but she just ends up having to sit up straight and it just drives her crazy. And so it's just terrific. And somehow she's got the right balance between kind of a love story and the whole bit, that it's terrific.
What is that series of books? You just reminded me of another one, the series that I've made, about a princess who doesn't want to marry one of those jerks of princes that her father keeps parading before her, and she goes off because she wants to live with a dragon.
Yes.
Becomes the
that
dragon's
called,
princess, and it's the king of the dragons.
That's a good, that's a really good audio tape, too, by the way. But I don't remember.
Ella Enchanted?
No, this one that she's talking about.
What is it? What,
is it a picture book or chapter book?
It's a chapter book.
Oh, and her name sounds something like the word cinnamon, but it's...
Oh,
yes.
Really?
I know exactly what you're talking about, but I can't.
It's cold. It will come to you by tomorrow morning.
The dragon princess, or the princess, the dragon's princess, or the princess...
And there's a series of books, I think, or maybe it's just one. I don't remember.
It's just one.
It's just one? And she actually does marry this guy.
But it's again a strong female.
It's a strong female character who will not accept the role that her father puts on her and goes off and does, you know, finds herself a dragon. The dragon happens to be a female dragon, but that dragon becomes king of the dragons. Not queen, king. Because the other king of the dragons has died.
Interesting.
And you know what? This is the great... You go into a children's bookstore, and you mention this, and then they can find
they
the book for you because
it.
They
yeah.
know.
Yeah.
That happened to me once. My favorite book of all time is by a British author named Enid Blyton. It's called The Enchanted Wood. And I read it as a child, and I couldn't for the life of me remember what it was called. And it haunted me. Well, not terribly, but, you know, it did haunt me. And I was in England, and I went into a children's bookstore, and I said... This is a really strange thing, but do you know this story? And I got about three sentences into it, and they said, oh, yeah. And so I got that book, and it was like getting reacquainted with old friends.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think that's what books do
yes.
for us and for children, is
yes.
it's a connection.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Another one that my daughter has totally loved is called The Doll People. It's
mm-hmm.
fairly new. It's kind of thick, but it's about these, you know, the little dolls in the dollhouse. And an old set and a new set becoming friends, and
they have kind of this magical life as alive toys.
And it's good on audio tape too.
I bet it is. And there's a little mystery in it, a little adventure, and of course the adventurers are girls. And
my daughter even liked it when she was four. It's for like 7 or 8 or something, isn't
it? Wow. Yeah, it is.
But because it was on audio tape, she...
Wow. See, I can't get my five-year-old to listen to me that long. We've been trying.
You know what? I would like to know... We only have about 5 minutes left.
Oh, yeah.
I would like to know, go around the room and find out, what is a favorite book that you have? Either a picture book or a young adult book. One that you know now or one that you knew as a child that's really stayed with you.
Yeah. Or... And if you don't have one, it's okay. But if there's something that you want to throw out there.
Well, here's mine. It's a music book. And I told, I think, the two of you about this one. It's the title of it is Go In and Out the Window. And it has, and it's a hardbound book, and it's published by the Metropolitan Museum of Art in New York City. And it has all the songs that are sort of these Americana songs. Songs like I've Been Working on the Railroad and Home on the Range and Pop Goes the Weasel and you know the riddle song, you know, I Gave My Love a Cherry,
yeah,
you know, stuff like that. And every single song, they have the music and the words, and every single page is illustrated with photographs of art objects from the Metropolitan Museum of Art. And it is incredible. It's beautiful. It's called Go In and Out the Window.
Wow.
And it has that song too.
Of course it does.
It has Did You Ever See a Lassie Go This Way and That? Do you know that?
I don't know that one.
Sure. Did you ever see a lassie? Oh, yes, a lassie.
Stuff like that. It's about, it's about half an inch thick, half an inch, three quarters of an inch thick.
Yeah. Any other books?
And the way they illustrated that one was with scenes of first photography.
So. Wow. Cool.
Well, I read to do rocking readers in the Bloomington school system and read to kindergartners, and I found, and I don't know who illustrated the book, but it's Stopping by the Woods on a Snowy Evening.
Oh. Is that Keats? That's not Keats, is it?
No, that's Frost.
It's Frost.
Yeah, it's Frost, but I think, I don't know who did the illustrations, but on each page, it's the man with his horse, and the man has a lightly pastel-colored jacket on. And all the rest of the illustration is in black and white.
Oh, wow.
So I just love reading it in the winter, and I don't know if the kids, I don't know what the kids get, but I'm just delighted to read it. Mm-hmm. And there's enough page turning in it that it, you know, it seems to keep the kids' attention enough so that they'll sit still.
Well, the thing is, if those illustrations are beautiful enough, they do.
Yeah, and then they're hearing language. You know, you don't have to understand it all to enter into that world. And I just was so delighted with it that I read it for me, beside reading it for the kids, which is half the fun of reading.
You know what a good book for read aloud for kindergartners is? The Magic Hat.
Yeah.
Could you know that one?
Yeah.
Because it has kind of a sing-songy.
Goes like this, goes like that.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Very cool. We didn't get through all of their books, but that's all right.
What about Grandfather Twilight? Grandfather Twilight? Well, this is such a wonderful book for a young reader, you know, a 3-year-old to, you know, 8 or so. And it's it has illustrations that are just luminescent in it. And it's the story of Grandfather Twilight, who lives in a little place in the woods. And every evening, he takes one pearl off of a necklace in a chest and covers the chest. And then he goes for a walk, and his dog, you see his dog go with him. And when he gets to a certain place, as he walks, the pearl begins to grow. And it gets bigger and bigger in his hand, and stars start trailing out of his robe and this thing. And then he gives it to the, he's something like, he gives the pearl to the stillness above the lake or something, and you can see it float up and become the moon.
Mm.
And it is so beautiful and so restful. And it's called Grandfather Twilight.
Yeah, there's a similar one about the old lady who dusts the stars, and I don't know the name of the book. But my daughter just loved that too, because one day she decides to take a break. She's not going to dust those stars, and there's no light, no moon for the night, and everything becomes a mess. And she gets back on the job again. That kind of magic again. But
Yeah, it's and you don't need very many words. It doesn't have very many words. It's mostly pictures, and the pictures are just beautiful. But you see this very old man with a long beard and but very kind face with the, you know, the pearl going bigger and bigger in his hand.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Before
the
we
one I mentioned was The Owl Called My Name.
Yes,
that was
yes.
one that I read a number of times.
Mm-hmm.
I used that as a giveaway book.
Yeah.
I don't know, actually know what age group. I suppose junior high age.
I think junior high.
Grade mm-hmm. higher grade school age.
Then there's another one that I was telling you about, Birch Bark House.
Oh,
yeah.
It's a really neat book. Yeah, it's Chippewa,
mm-hmm.
In Wisconsin, but it deals with the smallpox and all sorts of stuff. And it's, my students have actually managed to read that in spite of the lots of native language words in it.
Anyone else have a book they would like to share?
Well, thank you for coming.
Yes, and we'll, a lot of these books are in the library here.
Yeah.
For your perusal, as you're here, we could probably leave them out.
I think so.
Right now.
We're going to leave them out because we have to dash over.
The children are doing Vespers this evening. So.
I have a question. My daughter and I are trying to remember a book. I have gone to bookstores. I have tried everybody. We used it as it was a children's book, 84, 85, 86, out in western North Dakota. It would come on the bookmobile. I've written to the library, and it's all about, and it's a picture book, and it's about a person's name is Sebastian. He falls down the chimney, and he goes, "Help, I'm falling," and then different parts of his body fall off. And somebody comes along and puts him back. It's just and the illustrations are awesome. And he goes out, somebody comes along and camps in this haunted place and puts him all back together.
Wow.
The leg that has fallen down, the arms and everything. And my daughters, neither one of us can remember. And we can't find any, we've tried everything to look, doesn't look.
Wow.
And it's from, I wrote to the Bismarck Library. The children. That's where it came from on the bookmobile out our rinky-dink town.
The children's lady, the librarian there, wasn't helpful.
That's a bummer.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you've just put somebody on the task here.
Yeah. Well, I'm just marking my sheet.
But it's it takes place in Spain,
oh.
in a castle, and it falls down the chimney. It's a haunted castle, and it's a children's. Picture book.
But it's maybe not from here.
No, I think it was printed. I would have noticed. You know, but anything unusual, I look to see if it's American. I'm sure it's American.
Huh.
It did not win any awards. No seal on it. It just. I took whatever they had on the bookmobile.
Well, and you know, the library, the book people at my children's bookstore say, the awards are fine, but there are so many other good books out there that don't win the awards that, you know, it's...
Yes.
That's all I can tell about the book. You know,
oh,
beautiful illustrations.
Yep.
I'm nervous about...
Thank you all for coming.
Thank you for coming.
If you want to look at any of these books, please feel free. And happy reading.
Yeah.